This is Archive Atlanta, episode 254, Women of Atlanta, part 3.
You're listening to Archive Atlanta, a history podcast where each week I'll be sharing a story about the people, places, and events that shape the history of the city of Atlanta. I'm your host, local tour guide, and total history nerd, Victoria Lamos.
Hey everyone, happy Friday. So I did my first Women of Atlanta episode about a year ago for Women's History Month, and then I did part 2 this past October. And I still have a very long list of Atlanta women that I want to cover. And as I've explained in those previous episodes, the idea for this came about because I had a huge collection of women in my notes whose stories were very short. And I mean short in terms of research, not in the length of their lives or the quality of their achievements. They did groundbreaking things, and then realizing I didn't even have enough information to fill a mini episode was kind of depressing. So this format allows me to cover 3, sometimes 4 women at a time, and a chance to share their lives and stories. This week, we're talking about 3 women from Atlanta's history, an educator, an artist, and a cosmetologist. The first woman on our list today is Basileine Estelle Usher, born in 1885 in Walnut Grove to mixed-race parents who named her Basil after the sweet basil that her mother loved cooking with. In her college years, Basil changed her name to Basileine because she felt Basil was too masculine. She had 3 younger siblings, Samuel, Inez, and Eddie. Basileine's parents wanted her to be educated, but there was no school for Black children where they lived. By 1898, at the age of 13, she was sent to Atlanta University Preparatory School in Atlanta. And instructors here thought she was a prodigy because she excelled at every single subject. She took a sewing class and she used those skills to work and pay for her tuition. And she was also there during the tenure of Professor W.E.B. Du Bois, who was one of her favorite teachers. Her family moved to Covington in 1894, then eventually to Atlanta around 1901. And the Ushers joined Friendship Baptist Church, and her father worked there as a janitor and a mechanic elsewhere. She graduated from Atlanta University in 1906 and left to teach in the state of Virginia, where she spent about 9 years of her life. She returned to Atlanta in 1915 and began teaching at the Taylor Street School. She became assistant principal at Taylor in 1920, and then she moved over to the Wesley Avenue School, where she was principal in 1922. And these schools like got renamed and no longer exist, so it's confusing. But she took on the role of assistant principal at Booker T. Washington High School, so we have that school still. And then by 1932, she was the principal of David T. Howard, which is also now a middle school in the 4th Ward. This achievement actually made her the first female Black principal in Atlanta. Her sister Inez died in 1934, and so Basileine actually took in her niece and raised her as her own daughter. She also taught Sunday school at Friendship Baptist, where a very young and mischievous Maynard Jackson was one of her students. In 1943, along with Grace Townes Hamilton, Usher started Atlanta's first Black Girl Scout troop. She recruited 30 Black teachers, mothers, and female volunteers to become Girl Scout leaders, and she formed 4 African-American Girl Scout troops with 109 girls and 27 adults. In 1944, she was named by the Atlanta Public Schools as the Director of Instruction for all Black schools, which is the highest position a Black person had ever held in education in the city prior to that year. This also made her the first Black person to have an office in City Hall, where she also insisted on taking the first available elevator that opened up, refusing to wait specifically for the segregated elevator car. Usher retired in 1954 and, as she tells it, went downtown to buy a fancy, delicate gold wristwatch, a nice suit, and she put the rest in savings. And when asked in an interview in 1972 what she would have done differently in her life, she said, "Get married." She explained that her parents had separated and her mother had made marriage seem terrible and dissuaded her. To be honest, it's actually also true that you weren't allowed to continue working as a teacher when you got married, but, you know, another topic for another day. She was interviewed again in 1985. She was about to be 100. And adding to her regret of not getting married, she said she also wished she had visited California. In 1989, Harwell Elementary in Collier Heights was renamed Basileine Usher Middle School. And she died in 1992 at the age of 106 and was buried at Southview Cemetery. The next woman on our list was born to Joseph and Emma Edwards. Her father was a Confederate veteran who later became a judge, and her mother started a school in their hometown of Marshallville, Georgia. Catherine Flournoy Edwards was born in 1877, and she began painting by the age of 8. She attended the Price College for Women in Nashville and then the Chicago Art Institute and later studied in Paris. Her specialty was using white pastels on black paper, a technique that was called white point, but she also worked in watercolor and oils. And she would go on to do portraits of prominent figures across the country and even some people in Europe. She moved to Atlanta in 1907, where she won the Inman Prize from the Atlanta Art Association, which I've talked about them in a previous episode. But both her siblings also lived in Atlanta. So her sister, Ava, actually founded the Lovett School, which I will hopefully do an episode one day and talk about her. And her brother was really during the day a railroad executive, but he was a hobby painter and really more than a hobby painter. A lot of his work still hangs in people's homes. In 1912, Kate was commissioned as one of three Georgia artists to paint a portrait for the National Gallery in Washington, D.C., and she painted the portrait of former Georgia Senator A.S. Clay that hangs in our state capitol today. In 1921, she was the first Georgian artist to visit the artist colony in Pueblo, New Mexico, and that same year, she owned and operated her own studio in Atlanta. In 1926, she completed a portrait of golfer Bobby Jones. If you step back and really think of this, it's hard to be a working artist today, but this is a woman in the first half of the 20th century, single, childless, and supporting herself fully with her art and owning her own studio. That's really wild. In 1968, she survived a serious car accident on Peachtree Street, and then at the age of 80, she had double cataract surgery. And the newspaper interviewed her when she was 91, and she was living in a high-rise and still painting. She had completed over 550 pieces, with one at the High Museum and nine being owned by Georgia Tech. In 1971, she wrote and illustrated Rhymes for Good Times and Other Verses. And in 1972, she was honored as Georgia's Woman of the Year. She died in 1980 at the age of 102, and she's buried in her hometown. Our last woman of the episode is Dale Boring Strable. I came across her name in an ad for a cosmetology school, and I was instantly intrigued. So hairdressing and cosmetology has historically been a path to financial freedom and entrepreneurship for women, especially Black women in Atlanta. And there's lots of salons and schools that Black women operated on Auburn Avenue, but Dale was really the first white woman I had seen mentioned in Atlanta. And so I was intrigued, but let me tell you, it was really, really hard to find information about her. So this is really a test of someone who I guess is not famous in the way we think of people being famous, and without any really children or descendants when she died, her story just been lost to time. Born Dale Emily in Tennessee in 1903 to parents David and Harriet Boring, by the 1920 census, she was living in Colorado. I couldn't find how or when she entered into the hairdressing profession, but I did confirm that she married Joseph Strable in Denver in 1936. The couple moved to Atlanta about a year or two after tying the knot, and then by the 1940 census, the couple is living in an apartment on Boulevard. By 1942, Dale had taken over operation of the Powder Puff Beauty Salon, which was at 472 Ponce de Leon Avenue. By 1951, she's leading the opening of a hair salon inside Haven Home, which was formerly the Fulton County Almshouse, and then in 1952, she's named president of the National Hairdressers and Cosmetologists Association. In 1956, she opened the Dale Strable School of Cosmetology, which from what I can tell from the address was next door to her hair salon, which she also kept open. She was elected the first president of the Georgia Association of Cosmetology Schools. She was the educational director of the Georgia Hair Fashion Committee, and she was president of the Atlanta affiliate branch of that organization four times. She also served as chairman of the Dixie Hair and Beauty Fair. While her husband Joe did not start out in the same business, at some point he also became a licensed cosmetologist, and in the late 60s and early 70s, he was named president of the National Association of Cosmetology Schools, the Georgia Beauty School Association, and the Georgia Hairdressers Association. By the 1980s, the school had moved to a spot on North Highland in the Virginia Highland neighborhood. The couple retired in 1982. They sold their school to another operator. Joe died in 1989 and Dale in 1994. The couple had no children and they're buried together in Sandy Springs. So there you have it, the story of three more women from Atlanta's history for Women's History Month. Thank you everyone for listening. Remember to leave a rating and or a review wherever you listen to the podcast. There's also a Patreon link in the show notes if you want to support the work. I hope everyone has a great weekend and I'll talk to you next week.